Oh, thank you, Lord. The Lord's drawing in closer and closer right now, and He's saying, I'm here for you. I respond to your hunger. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Increase our hunger, Lord. Increase our hunger. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you desire to demonstrate yourself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your power. Thank you, Lord. Lord's going to continue to demonstrate Himself this morning. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to remind us of a few things Carly was going to put on the screen as we're just receiving. Just a reminder as part of the testimony of the Lord and His grace and what He's been doing. So we're just going to watch for a minute or so and just be reminded again of some of the healings that the Lord has been bringing. And then I'm going to ask Emily to come up and share what happened and some from First Friday to come up. So go ahead, Carly, you want to put that on. Thank you, Lord. This is a demonstration of your glory, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just bless what you're doing and who you are right now. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. These are just a few of the testimonies from a couple weeks ago or a week or so, a week ago. But the Lord says that He is here and He's increasing us this morning and He's preparing us for more, more. We just finished our Relentless Pursuit Conference and we know that the Lord has released so much over all of us, so much over our body, so much over this region. So we're believing that that's going to continue wherever we go. Straight again to show the demonstration of the gospel of the kingdom. But for us, Lord's reminding us that this is, 'tis the season. 'Tis the season for great increase, and He wants to increase us in ways beyond what we're seeing up here, in ways beyond what we've experienced ourselves, in ways beyond what happened here at Relentless Pursuit, what happened when we were in Ghana after that. And we're seeing that more and more as we're singing out, Lord, show me your glory. Lord, I want your presence. He's saying, I have done that, and I'm doing it more, but I'm looking for those who will just absolutely lay down and allow things to happen. And just go ahead and put it up, Carly, whenever you have it, just if you have that. So God wants to do something different today. I really believe that as we prepare for our young adult conference at the end of January, beginning of February, actually, wildfire, that God is saying, how much of a wildfire do you expect? How much do you really want? And what are you looking for? And what's going to happen, not just there, but in the preparatory time up to that point? And God's doing something. Lawrence, I don't know if you have a clip or something for today or not. Okay. Not today. Coming. Coming on Tuesday. Okay. So I just wanted to mention to you that as we're thinking about these things and experiencing in our own bodies, going, wow, isn't that great? That if we have an expectation that is happening just at church, we're really lowering what God wants to be doing. And we're not seeing what He's saying right now. If we come down with what we say is a cold or the flu or something else or anything, God wants us to say, I expect what's going on Tuesdays and Sundays to happen right here in my own bedroom, right here in my bathroom, right here in what's going on. I want to draw our attention to something briefly here in the paper while the team from First Friday, or the ones who are going to be sharing, come up. If you can come up right now. And Carly, just whenever you have it, just stick it on. I was looking in the paper the other night, and actually Pastor Bill saw this. This is in the Maslin paper for a couple of nights ago. And there's a picture up here of a man who was led to Jesus Christ. Mr. Anderson, up here on the top left, and his grandson, Ron. I'm just going to hold, maybe Mike can take that. And a few years back, we were on a treasure hunt, and we were in Walmart, and the Lord gave us words, very specific words, and I don't remember exactly what they were for this man, but it was basically tall, Afro-American man with a green hat, and you remember? Blue coat, and about 4 or 5 or 6, with a limp. Yes, very specific. And the Lord brought him all the way across Walmart to be able to receive salvation, 72 years old. It was amazing. He was going to leave, and there were all kinds of circumstances that happened that night. But I remember him so clearly. And when we were sitting there talking to him, he said, I didn't know what to do. I've always wanted this. I didn't know how, and I didn't know what to do. Like, boom. So able to lead him to Christ, and I remember him sitting right over here a week or so later. And within a short time, he was killed after that. He was in an accident with his four-year-old grandson. And had he not encountered Jesus Christ, where would he be? You know, those are serious things. So when the Lord is saying, when you deck the halls, when we sing Joy to the World, when we're thinking about this great season that we're in, he's very intentional as we celebrate and as we're enjoying the festivities and the lights, which I think are way cool and all, that's great. But remember, people all over the world are needing Jesus, including us, and he's saying, what will you do? And how will this affect the generations to come? So I'm trusting and believing that there was an effect with this in this four-year-old grandson. I believe he's with Jesus anyway. But nonetheless, between the time that Ron received Jesus, encountered Jesus, came here, which was a big deal, and his life was ended abruptly, Lord knew all that was going to happen with his four-year-old grandson, who was intended to live a full life. But yet, there was still a man, a grandfather who had the Spirit of God in him. I don't understand those kinds of things. I don't understand. I don't know all the things going on around that, but I do know that he's in heaven. Both of them are in heaven today, and I know that he used everybody here. And the Lord's so, so serious about that. So as we hear, you know, we talk about our headaches going and praise God for those kinds of things. He is very specific as to why and what he wants to do with those things. Thank you, Mike. So if you want to share just a little bit, and then we're going to show a video clip, and then the children will be dismissed to Kingdom Land.
Well, we had First Friday this past Friday, and we had about 9 of us or so. And we went out to Canton, met at McDonald's, and just broke up into 2 groups. One group stayed in downtown Canton. The other group went to the Canton Center Walmart and split up. And it was really cool. It was a really good night. Just several people were ministered to or touched, were given Jesus, prayed for. And so some of us are going to kind of share what happened. I know one thing that stood out for me was our group was leaving 2nd April, which that's an art gallery right in downtown Canton. And we were walking out and going towards Mug's Wigs, the coffee shop down in downtown Canton. And on the way, I just felt, I saw a man standing outside of a bar. And we were just kind of walking, but I felt Holy Spirit said, go tell him that I love him, just, you know, kind of quickly. And so I walked up to him. And I told the group, hey, hang on one quick second. Walked up to him and I said, this might sound kind of weird, but we're Christians, and I just really felt the Lord tell me to tell you that he loves you so much. And he was like kind of texting on his phone, and then he just looked up and he goes, thank you so much. Like, you could just tell he was really touched by that. And I said, you know, I don't know if you've been praying lately or if you've, he's like, well, I'm a Christian actually. And it was pretty short, but he really expressed, you know, gratitude in that moment. So it was really cool. So.
Well, okay. One thing that stuck out to me on First Friday was when we were first praying in McDonald's, we were all just praying and listening to the Lord, and instantly, like very clearly, I saw it looked like a bottle of wine being poured into a glass, but it was just a bottle. And so I was like, well, okay. And I heard lonely. And so when we were going out, we went to 2nd April Art Gallery, and there's this girl there who is working at the place where she serves beverages and food and stuff. And I saw behind her a bottle with a cup on top of it, just sitting there right behind her. And I was just like, that's the one. She's the one. And so I didn't go up to her and be like, are you lonely? You know, like I listened to Holy Spirit, and I was like, so I went over to her and I was just talking to her, and I was like, you know what? I just believe that the Lord is like speaking to my heart right now about you, and that he wants you to know that you're never alone, and that anything that you're going through, whatever it is, that God is with you, and he loves you so much, and you're so incredible and beautiful to him. And she was so, like, she so received it. She was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're telling me all this. She's like, this relates to my life, like, the past 2 months. Like, there's been there's been stuff going on, and there's, you know, it's just so blesses me, and it was so cool, and I loved it. And she goes to Malone, so hopefully we'll see her at the Edge and here.
The one thing that really stuck out to me was one of the things on our list was green shoes, and we were in that same art gallery. We were walking up the stairs, and I just kind of looked back as I was walking up the stairs, and I saw a young girl there with shoes that had a bunch of, like, lime green on them. They were mostly green. And so I was like, wait, green shoes. And so we ran back down the stairs to stop and talk to her, and she was there with a friend. And then, you know, so we started talking to them, and then her whole family kind of came over. There was a large group of them. And Bethany was there, and apparently she had talked to the same exact girls, the two girls earlier, not even realizing the green shoes. It was right before, but I didn't see Bethany talking to them, and Bethany didn't notice that the girl was wearing green shoes. But then I went back to talk to them because I didn't realize that Bethany had just talked to them. And so we just really got to pour out love on them. They're in middle school, and their family kind of just walked away as we were talking to them. The girls said that they don't go to church or anything, but they go to like a church camp once a year. And so we were just able to talk to them about having a relationship with Jesus and what that was really like and how they could just invite Jesus into their hearts. And so it was really great. And then we gave them prophetic words also, and to just bless them. And the fact that, you know, the Lord highlighted them to us twice, once to Bethany and once to me, we really just got to pour out God's love on them. So it was really, really good.
I'll probably just do one more and then.
Okay, this was pretty profound. We were at Walmart, my group was. And we met this young couple, and she was in the wheelchair. And we stopped and asked if there's something that we can pray for her about. And she's like, oh, yeah, she's been having this excruciating pain in her right ankle. And so we prayed for that. And then we asked her if it felt better, and she said, well, she still is feeling it. And then we prayed again. And we asked her to stand up, and she stood up, and she's like, the pain is completely gone. So.
That's great. There are many other testimonies, I'm sure, but we just wanted to give God glory for Friday night. Emily, stay here, honey. And just thank God. I know there were others who were on the team as well, but thank God for going out on Friday nights. Emily, this is Rhonda's daughter, Rhonda and Mike's daughter, Emily. And she has a real desire to see people healed. And I was up at the hospital to see her grandma last Sunday and was talking with Emily and the family. And she was saying, could you pray for Mr. Reith, is it? Reith or something? And I said, sure. And she started to tell me what was going to happen or what had started to happen. So maybe you can tell them what that's about. Do you remember what you said, how you started? You wanted to pray for him, but he really wasn't ready, or you couldn't get to him or something, and then you prayed up to that. Okay.
I was at school, and I was sitting at my desk. Mr. Reith, his back was bent like that. So the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, go up and pray for him. So I prayed for him at my desk, but then my mom started praying, like, started asking people to pray for him too. So I prayed. Well, I didn't get to quite then, but because a teacher walked in, and then I asked the Holy Spirit for another chance. So then on Monday, I came up to him for my seventh block. Yeah. And my Christian teacher, Ms. Zavarelli, she went up and helped me pray for him too. So, I prayed for him, and then in class, he, was talking about how Egyptians from a long time ago had different gods, but he said there's only one true God, and that God is the God that talked to me. Talk to him. And then
so how was he feeling after that? Did he say anything?
He was just really happy, and his back is healed, and he's straight.
Little healing evangelist here, huh? That is awesome. Thanks, sweetie. That's really great. Good job. Thank you. You can sit down. Yay. Thank you, Lord. That's normal Christianity, right? Normal kingdom Christianity is what we do. School, work, the mall, wherever we are. Amen? Isn't that awesome? Wow. We're going to switch up one more thing. I want everybody to see this before we release the children, because we have an outreach. It's kind of funny because Jesus never had outreaches. He is outreach. So he was always moving and everybody with him. But we're going to do something next Sunday to kind of set the stage for that. We want to play a 5-minute fun video for everybody to see. Actually, I saw it on a Facebook page of a friend of mine last week. And then Deanne posted it yesterday. And I laughed and went, oh my goodness, she didn't even know. Good job, Dee. But we're going to show it this morning. So watch this, because this is evangelism Americanized in the mall. And yes, some of you have already seen this, but we're going to share what we're going to do next week before we dismiss the kids into the kingdom land. So let's switch gears a little bit and let's play that one so everyone. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Wow, here we are in the West. You might not see that quite overseas like that yet. But here we are in the West, and we have, when Pastor Bill said, let's have the choir come up in the front in the beginning, I was laughing because I thought he has no idea I'm going to show this. No. So there was a prophetic release where we think, I don't want to do that, I can't do that, this is dumb, or whatever. The Lord is saying, really? Let's get the Egypt out of us, huh? All of us. Because God wants us to go tell it on the mountain, and he wants us to sing his praises wherever we are. Whether it's in an airplane and you stand up and declare the gospel, or you're in the mall. One of the safe things about this, safer maybe for some, is that there are a lot of people and everybody's doing it. But that's the idea. When we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Lord says, you and I, the gospel of the kingdom, we're a majority. And so he's stepping us up to be able to do things, whether we have a massive number or we have a smaller number at this point. So we're going to do next Sunday, actually, we're going to have another, quote, outreach. I know we just had Gift of Christmas, which was an outreach in reach. We're going to show a clip from that in a little bit. I'm going to ask Cynthia to share a little bit about what we'd like to do for next week, or 2 weeks from now, I guess it is. Well, no, it's next week. Yeah, next week. But we need to pass out some things right now before the teachers go, and you know how it is when we break. So sometimes people get lost in the shuffle here and don't realize some of the things we're doing. So anyway, next week is December 16th, and then the following week would be December 23rd, and our Christmas extravaganza will be on December 23rd on Sunday morning at 10:30. We're not coming back Monday on the 24th this time, this year, maybe probably next year, but this year it's going to be the 23rd. We'll see about next year. So what we're going to do is divide up, and we are going to go downtown, and we're going into the projects, the hood, and we're also going on the streets here to sing Go Tell It on the Mountain. To Matthew chapter 9, can we do that? 9:33 through 38. Okay. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for what you're releasing today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you want to bring to us. Thank you for just taking us into a new place. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We're just reminding us how big you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, in proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Verse 36, Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send workers out into his harvest." Oh, I'm going to bring it back up here. There we go. You can see it up there. Okay. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture, amongst many others, because just a picture of our great God just being revealed through Jesus, who is also our great God, by the Holy Spirit, who is also our great God. And somehow there are three persons and one God. And the revelation of that just still continues to overwhelm my heart and my mind every time I think about that. But when we talk about Jesus and we think that he was going through all the cities and villages teaching and preaching and healing, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming, always proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. I was thinking about this. I thought, God, when Jesus was proclaiming, how was he proclaiming? By his presence, his very presence, just walking right in wherever he was, every place that his feet would touch, every person that he looked into, every person's face that he looked into, every place he went, everything he did was part of proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. But he was so wise because he was hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit and saying, go here, go there, do this, do that. He was not thinking about his own life, his own situation. He was thinking about the best, the very best in how he could make something come to pass. And that is actually by the Spirit, by his Father saying, yes, son, yes, son, yes, son, it's you in whom I'm well pleased. I'm so pleased with you because you and I are one. You have my heart. You carry my heart. You have the very heartbeat of heaven. I'm your heartbeat. So he knew what to do. And so he wasn't corralled by the enemy. The enemy came against him, but the enemy was not able to get through. The enemy was not able to penetrate because he was able to go so low and stay so low. And when we hear and when we read that he only did what he saw his Father do, and he only spoke what he heard his Father say, the Lord said, that's a mandate for each one of us. It's not just a good song. He only went where he saw his Father go. The Lord said he was really able to do this. So this is our Jesus who modeled the Father perfectly. He came to reveal the Father. If he lived with us here 2,000 years later, he'd be in the mall. He wouldn't be that little baby in the manger, which is a nice beginning. But he would carry, because he is the very presence, the essence of heaven. And he would walk in, the whole place would be looking because he carries who he is. And so us caring who he is the greatest privilege that we have. And so knowing that he lives on the inside by the Spirit of God, knowing that he's there, creates a sense of being lovesick on the inside of us, to be able to connect all the time with him. Being lovesick for him means that we are desiring that closeness, that intimacy, wherever we are. Whether we're out to dinner, we're at the mall, or we're at home cooking something, or whatever it is, it's that feeling of, ooh, I want to get closer. Ooh, I want to be closer. Ooh, I want to just spend time with you, even though you're living in me. Ooh, there's more. That's a state that's constant. It's a state where God can constantly fill us. He says, when you're there, or you're moving towards there, wherever there is, then I can constantly keep pouring in you. So you will constantly miss me more. I want more. So it's that state of more, that state of more, 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 more. It's that state of more that will take us to our calendars and say, I'm changing what I was going to do on the 23rd or the 16th. You see, it's the state of more. It's that state of staying desperate. A dead person is desperate. Person who is really dead and staying dead, it becomes more and more and more desperate. And these are not just words. We're willing to change. We're not just willing to consider some things and go, I don't think I can do that. We're willing to do what's hard. We're willing to do what is challenging. When Jesus stepped out whether he was in a boat or whether he was in the desert. There were challenges, many of them, we just don't know what those challenges were. We know some of them. Oh my goodness, in Luke chapter 3, that's right. He was out in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. And we see a picture of the enemy using scripture against him. The very religious spirited one himself would use scripture against him. Now just take care of your family first. Of course. But what does that really look like? You see, the enemy masquerades as an angel of light, and he'll use scripture to help us seemingly take a step forward. But really, he wants us to choose what is not the Lord's best. That's what he wants. He wants us to go for lack. He wants us to go for just pretty good, but not the very best. The very best might cause us a little distress, might cause us a little discomfort. We might have to arrange our life or our schedule a little bit more, but that's okay. And Jesus was all about that. Jesus really, really understood that because he lived that. That was how he lived his life. So when we read these passages of scripture about Jesus going through all the cities, we might have this picture. Well, okay, he's walking in this sandy area and he's just waving to everybody and talking to dad on the way and waving and, you know, just, that's it. Believe me, I would think and from scripture, I see that there was a lot of opposition always. Why? Because he's Jesus. And the enemy opposes those who are carrying the glory. The Lord says, are you my glory carriers? Are you really my laid down lovers? Are you really the ones who say, I'm laid down so much, kill me more? Meaning if anything rises, I want to be low, low, low for you so that I can go high. Because I can see you. I can see you that way, high and lifted up. That will reflect in our choices. That will reflect in our schools. We have four schools. That will reflect in leadership, in participation, in desire, and changing. God will get our attention. It won't be an afterthought. It will be on the top burner of what God's doing. You see, God is so, so faithful inside of us that he's speaking all the time saying, did you remember, 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 remember? Oh, if we fall into I've been busy mentality, boy, oh boy, we can really take a dive and cause others to take a dive actually. Using that phrase, I am so busy, I've been busy. The Lord always makes room for what he's about to do. But he always takes us to a place, always, where the stretching will be greater. Why? Because there's a whole lot more coming our way. And he says, I'm looking for those who have a rubber band heart and mentality. Stretch me more, Lord, because that's where I need to be, where the joy and the peace will reign, even in the midst of challenges, even in the midst of in our minds, what does not look reasonable, what does not look acceptable, what does not look to be the norm for what I'm looking for. And many times it will come in the midst of adversity that maybe the enemy is helping set up in our life, because the Lord says, you know what? I'm watching those people who were part of Relentless Pursuit. These guys really had a blast from heaven, literally, a glory blast from heaven that was not only here, but it went out. And we had not only physical testimonies, but spiritual testimonies of so many seers in this body of what God was doing in the region. Do we not think that there will not be great challenges along with that? Do we not think that there will not be great stretching? And do we not think that the enemy will do whatever he can to water down, to minimize, and he'll use sickness, he'll use reasoning, our own mental reasoning, he'll use whatever he can. He'll look for any little tiny weakness inside of us and try to encourage that magnification somehow. And sometimes he just backs off and just watches and doesn't have to do a thing, because the Lord is saying, Let me be the one who does it. Let me be the one who speaks life into you so that you are so enamored with me, so in love with me, so absolutely captured by my heart that when something starts to rise, it will be so not normal that you'll have to do something about it in the spirit. Absolutely, because it's not tolerable. That's how the Lord protects us, because he doesn't want us to have anything less than his very best. Not what's good, right, okay, but the very best. Wow. So, Jesus was going through the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues. What was he teaching? You know, we've seen movies where he gets up there and he's got the robe and he's got the scrolls and gives them a few pieces of tidbits and they're just kind of messed up forever. But he is heaven. So he was speaking the words from the old covenant, speaking to them, and we know what many of them are. But can you imagine being in the presence of the king? Can you imagine what was going on the inside? I tend to believe that there were people there who were literally shaking right where they were and falling off their benches. Why not? They were carrying religious spirits. Why not? We've seen that overseas, haven't we? We proclaim the gospel and people are falling, literally falling off of their benches and rolling around just from saying, Jesus is Lord. Hey, because the power of God, when we say Jesus is Lord, with everything on the inside of us, when we declare Jesus is Lord, and we go tell it on the mountain, with everything that rises up, when that fire comes through, things happen, they have to. People are raised from the dead. Nations are taken. And this is a new day for us. And he's saying to us, the way that we do kingdom is changing. I listened to a message this morning from Ghana North from Pastor Stephen, and I just couldn't believe it, because we really were teaching at the Kingdom Bible School about living supernaturally, and everything was kingdom. It has been, but I don't know, for some reason he says, I am so glad we can do the kingdom together. And I thought, you don't know what you say. I wrote it down. I may have not quoted every word, but that was basically what he said. I think I'll have to post that on Facebook. We'll do the kingdom together. It's like, what? Yes. Yes. This is new to Ghana North. New in the last few years, but it was really good. Thank you for buying our motorcycle, my new moto. Thank you. New branches. New churches are being planted. I'm so excited. Oh, you said something about a children's home, which we have for our 22 acres in the plan. Okay, I've already lined up some of the kids in this. That means moving. Something was stirring inside of him. You know that list of things that you need me to work on the land? It's finished. His version of finished and ours, I don't know. It was really cool. He said, my wife and I just want to say to you, we're happy, we appreciate it, and we're proud of you. It's like, oh, isn't that nice? Well, I'm going to share that with you, because whether you were with us or not, you're part of it. And there was just such an excitement and enthusiasm, like, what do we do now? What do we do now? It was really fun to be able to get that message this morning. And he said that all kinds of healing testimonies are coming from the villages as a result of the Kingdom Bible School. He didn't tell me what they were. I will tell you next time, because I have to call him. But I was excited, because this is what it's all about. And going to the mall and singing and taking our children out, proclaiming Jesus is Lord. The Lord says, hey, I will do whatever through you to proclaim who I am. Teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. There wasn't anything would escape Jesus, nothing. We cannot have something that comes against us and not absolutely put a demand on the anointing and expect that Jesus will do something about it. We must do that. We have to believe that. We have to be so sure. But this so sure is not the same as this so sure. This is nice. This is better. This is okay. This is power. And the Lord wants power. He wants power to be released wherever we are. Absolute power and authority. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. Okay, next time we go out on Friday night, how about some new ones joining us? Come on. I don't do Friday nights. Change. That's bedtime. Change. Seriously, let the Lord challenge us. Okay, whether it's Friday or Saturday or Tuesday, that's not the point. We need to be moved. If Jesus was moved with compassion, it's because he was already moved in his heart. He was moved in his heart. If we get into a place, which I pray we never do, but if we ever get into a place where we start structuring our life by events, oh my gosh, kill me now. That should be what we say. Lord, I want to die. I want to die more. I want to die more. I want to die more. That's what I mean by that. We need to be able to multitask. If we have tunnel vision, that we focus on one thing or one person at a time, the Lord says, I did not design you that way. That's how I think I am. I know. Well, that's just because that's just for women. Men don't. Not true. And it's not so true. Some men might think that about women. Not true. He designed us to multitask. If that's a part of your brain that's been kind of dull, then you speak to that thing right here between here and here. Okay? Because we need to be able to see and to hear. Because if we concentrate, all of a sudden our attention is on the dog. Because I'm all about dogs. Everything in my focus is dogs. I'm going to miss something over here. I had to speak that to my own self a little bit, not too much, actually, because I was kind of crazy. But even reminding myself, even when my kids were young, it's like, I love my babies, but I'm moved with compassion. I'm dancing in the kitchen, and I'm taking them with me, and let's go. Let's do what we want them to. We say we want them to do. Let's have them do it. Put them in the car, and let's go. This is more and more where he's taking us. If you have children or grandchildren or whatever. Kids are designed to respond. Did you see the faces of the young ones in what you saw with the mall video? Did you see the awe? It's like, what is that? Some of the ones who probably weren't even thinking about Jesus were brought into a place of, woo, awe. Well, let's take it beyond the awe. Those of us who can, hello, this group, can and will. That's what forerunners do. Forerunners can look at something like that and go, wow, isn't that special? But let's take it even more. Let's take it way beyond what we see there. That's nice. Maybe you feel a goosebump or something like that. But I'm telling you, that is just lovely. Lovely. But let's take it way beyond the lovely. What's best? Okay? If we're secretariats and we want to win that triple crown, and we're determined, and I believe everybody in here is, that's what I believe this ministry is, a group of secretariats. Okay, if we're pushing open that gate, and the Lord is saying, did you forget me in the process? That's a problem. But if we're stepping back, where things are a little bit more peaceful and probably somewhat challenging, but just, you know, doable and manageable, we need to probably lay down and ask God where there might be a little more depth that's needed. We all do that. I do that. So if I do that, you do that. Because that's what we're supposed to do. It's very exciting. I want to show, I want to show the clip from Gift of Christmas. Now, there was, some of you were here, and it was fairly long. We're not showing the long version at all. But after we took our friends out shopping for the day and then came back here and this place was transformed into a love haven with presents being wrapped in the big, beautiful dinner and the wonderful presentation, the program, the gospel, the healings, and all of that. The whole day of love, many people gave their lives to the Lord, and you're going to see it. But I just want to show you something in this. It's just going to be about 4 or 5 minutes. I want you to be able to, if you were there, go back there. If you weren't there, this is a place of awe. Because the Lord is saying, don't wait for an event, although this was darn good, Gift of Christmas. And I believe next year that every child who is part of Frontline will be part of this, not just maybe serving, but also teaching or working, if you will, those who are able, in the areas where we talk to the little children who are being brought in, and our little children will be the ones who will be able to say, yeah, we can pray for healing. Let me do that for you. And we had some of that. But I'm saying I'm always one thinking beyond. And so this is my visionary side coming out. So that's what I would like to see, that all families would put it on their agenda and be willing to let their families know in advance. Those are some of the things that Forerunners will think about, so that you can say, wow, I'm looking for it. This is, whether it's Gift of Christmas or whatever it is, these are opportunities to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, because he planned as he was led by the Spirit moment by moment by moment. Who can figure? You know, if you talk about long and short-term goals and plans, Jesus understood how to do that. But he did it because his Father said, I've got strategy. So more than a plan, it's more of a strategy. It's like, okay, Lord, I can see myself. So therefore, nothing's getting in the way of that. Wow. I was faced with something this week, and just briefly, I won't go into any detail, that my father was in a situation where he could have died. And he's down in Florida with my mother, who he's the primary caretaker for. And so Pastor Bill and I were faced with, what do we do with this? With all the logic, reasoning, and emotion kicking in, you can imagine. Do I hop a plane? Because there's nothing wrong with that. But what do you say, Holy Spirit? And that was actually going on for a while, but really came into full manifestation actually Tuesday. A wild day here at Frontline for some people. So that was going on, and Holy Spirit spoke clearly through his visions, through his still small voice, through his direction. But it wasn't hard. It was just a matter of saying, I want to hear what you say to my own hurt. And he said, wait, wait, I will do this. Wait. Wow. Okay. It's only my father. What? And I love my family. So when my father in heaven said, wait, there was a process of continual dying. The Lord saying, I am going to teach you how to stay dead. You say you're dead. This one will actually help you even more. And it did. And we waited. And my dad is healed, praise the Lord. And my mom was taken care of supernaturally, really. It was amazing. Was it easy? At first, it was easy when the peace came through his answer. When we said, what would you like us to do? That's true partnering with the Spirit. So,
sorry.
The picture you had, do you want to give it? You when should give it, honey?
I am excited when something comes from the Lord and it's an answer to, and you need guidance. And so it came in a picture form. We were praying about Pops, her dad, and had several things that came to me, but the major one was that that he was inside of a castle. Pops was. And the castle, of course, the strong tower that we've talked about for months about Jesus is the strong tower. But her father is inside this castle. He's safe because the drawbridge is coming up and the enemy cannot get in to the castle. He's going to be the strong tower. Jesus is, and the enemy is not going to be able to cross the bridge. The bridge is going up, but the enemy tries anyway, and he jumps for the drawbridge and goes into the moat, and he drowns, and the drawbridge shuts, and he's safe inside the castle. And then I had a picture that he was kind of transferred to the event in the Bible where the men took the tiles off the top of the roof and lowered the person down that needed a touch from Jesus right in front of Jesus. And here's this person. Well, it was Pops being lowered down in front of Jesus. And then Jesus just, smiled and healed him. And so that was, there were a few other things, but that was the major reason we didn't take off for Florida. And I was the most excited person when he came into healing and was able to report, because I'm thinking, I'm the one that had the thing and the castle and the moat, and it's all nice and it's good. And, it's got to be from you, right? I mean, it's from you, right? And she's going, hey, we got her answer, we got her answer. But I'm the one that had the word. So I was the one extremely excited when he went from getting up and eating and not feeling totally well to increase and increase and increase. And by his birthday, I was able to call him and give him my best Frank Sinatra birthday greetings on the phone. He said, Willie? He calls me Willie. You're doing very well. You have a good voice. Thanks, Pops.
And what's really fun about that, too, is that on Tuesday night, because we were still in that place of, we believe, we're waiting for the manifestation of it, okay? But there was peace in believing. I was going to bring it up to all of you on Tuesday night. At a certain point, I felt that I was coming up towards the end of the evening, and then the Lord took it completely a different direction and didn't feel that there was any opportunity. And, I mean, you can always stop the presses, but it wasn't the timing of the Lord, because the Lord was doing something else for other people. And also, at that time, when we were rejoicing, saying, okay, Lord, we're trusting you with this word, with this connection in heaven of this is what you're doing. You're just giving us the privilege of knowing it and seeing it, because you tell us that you will show us your glory. Even before Pops realizes it, or my mother. And then I was speaking with someone else in the body, and it was Anne, actually. I was speaking with Anne after that, and she said, I was in prayer, and I had a picture of Jesus walking into your mom and dad's place, and Jesus walks through the door, just takes his arm, and it was a scene similar to Jesus turning the money changers' tables over in the temple. Like, here I am, and angels had come into the scene, and I said, oh, yeah. And it's interesting, because, yeah, I'm saying yes because my spirit is going, amen to that. You see, when we're led by the Spirit of God, as Jesus was led by the Spirit of God in living on the inside of him from Luke chapter 3, coming upon him, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, actually, and then being tested and tried and sent out. When that happens, then you are led by his voice on the inside. The words were really great that Pastor Bill had, but the words alone were not enough. Just words. Words with the Spirit, I trust. And I know my husband and I trust him. But you see, God knows us as humans, and he says, you can hear me. So he's trusting the Spirit. I'm trusting the Spirit of God in him and the Spirit of God in me. My spirit resonates with his spirit. And it was a no-brainer. There wasn't even a question. It was like, oh, that's just great. Because my spirit's going, yes. And when our spirit is really tuned in with the fire of God just burning on the inside of us all the time, it becomes easier and easier to detect where there's resistance and detect when there's peace and joy. Real peace, real joy. So it doesn't become a mental exercise of, well, maybe this was, I don't know about that moat. And we start analyzing that. So God is saying, I'm teaching you in this season, kiddos, all of us, I want you to know my spirit and be moved by my spirit to make the decisions. So let's go ahead and show these few minutes. This is what happened a couple weeks ago. But we want to rejoice because the Lord's going to close us with something else. Okay. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 This is the same spirit and heart that we enter into this coming week, wherever we're going, whatever we're doing, that this is meant by God to be not only a great release in this region for these people, for what God wants to do locally, but he's saying this spills into my view of what's going on all around the world. We're going to close with a clip, Carly has it, of something that happened this summer in Mozambique to show the connection here. Because if our minds and our hearts are not connected with what he's doing around the world, what he's doing right here, we will not be operating at full capacity. And God wants us operating with a full tank, full capacity, with the full fire of God on every front to say, yes, Lord. And there'll be something inside of us that just can't stop. We'll be burning and burning and burning. And that way, when we get in the car today and we go to the gas station, we're going to see the people that we encounter there with new eyes. And we will want them to know Jesus. We will want them. And the Lord gave me that verse or that word. Ask them and they will come. In the middle of preaching a couple weeks ago, ask them and they will come. This would be your grandmothers and your grandfathers and your aunts and your uncles. Ask them and they will come. On the 23rd, ask them, come, come Sunday morning. Let's fill this place. Can you imagine a relative getting a prophetic word, something that's beautiful? You don't have to fear. You don't have to be concerned. God's going to do something so powerful that these will be prayed over. There will be such an anointing that when someone walks in and they're handed that paper, there will be an explosion all over them. What you've been asking for and believing for. Can you believe that God can even release it that way? This is raising the bar. This is our visioning. Let's close with that, Carly.
Yeah.
This is a baby raised from the dead in Mozambique. Grab this for you, not just PMP, for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. As we close right now, we're just going to believe that God's going to touch us right where we are. You can be on your feet. We're going to worship the Lord for a release of fire that's new, anew, and new, and new inside of us. New, this is a new day, and the Lord wants to do something that's absolutely going to change the way we think. But he's saying, I'm looking for those who are willing to lay down and say, Lord, I give up. When I say you change me, I'm asking, Lord, what do you have me do? And he says, no, you lay down and watch what I will do. And there'll be greater amount of fire released over your world, over your life. And we're just believing right now that as we sing this together, God's going to take us into a new place. A new place. But that calls a new level, calls for a new level of dying to anything at all that's contrary, anything at all that does not match up with Jesus Christ, anything at all. And the Lord says, this is a day where my love is released in a more powerful way than ever before, ever more than what you saw before, more than overseas, more than gift of Christmas, more than last Tuesday, more than last night, more in any way at all. The Lord says, cry out for me and watch what I will do. Cry out for me. This is between you and the Lord. Let's be on our feet and expect the very glory and the fire of God to just fall in a new way over us right now. It's not an opportunity for us to spectate. The Lord says, participate and jump in the fire. Jump in the fire that's being released right now. Come on. Lord, this is your glory right now. This is a release more of your power and your glory. Lord, we're willing right now with this new level of fire and anointing. The Lord says that many of us have been privy to great and mighty things that have come from his hand. But now he wants to take us into a new place. A new place. A new place. A new place in the heavens. Let's just sing out to him. Can we put the words up there, please? Come on. If you want prayer, you come down. But I'm telling you, this is a day of a new release. There's a new sound today. And he's going to call us into a new place where we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I don't want anything but a yes that releases in me. There is no left, no no left. No no left in me. Only yes. Only yes. Only yes. Lord, that's me. Come on. Come on. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are the
of us. More Lord. More Lord. Come on. Jump in. The fire of God is raging, I'm telling you. Jump into the fire of God. The fire of heaven is here. Some of us might need a shaking right now, saying, oh Lord, I want to run into what you're caring for me. I want to run. This is the time to run. Just like Chelsea, who was healed last week, who ran around the place. The Lord says this is the day of running. Running into his power, his fiery inferno. If you want a new place, if you need something, the Lord says, come. Come for prayer. Come, come. What about Sheba? Yes, Lord. I just thank you for the release of fire right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just keep coming right now on every hungry heart, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Let your fire fall in this house. Let your fire fall in the hungry ones, Lord. I believe that's all of us here. That, Lord, that we would see your glory, that we would experience your fullness, that when you experience a new place, oh God, where we have said yes to you, Lord. I live in the supernatural. I thank you for the miraculous. I thank you for the hunger increasing. Yes, Lord. I thank you for the desperation in my heart. I thank you for the willingness increasing to be able to go to the highways, to the byways, to be able to take the low road, that you would lift us up to those high places. Thank you, Lord, that we're people of influence, Lord, being able to take the place
places that you give us. Thank you for new eyes. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Adora. Look on the face of the one that I love.
There's anybody who wants prayer as we continue to sing. You're free. You're released to go out into the highways and the byways, into the streets. The Lord is still releasing right now. So if that's you, you want prayer, you want anything, come on up right now. Come on up. Lord is saying, my eyes are there. My eyes are there. My eyes are there. My fire is here. My fire is here. Oh, how are you? All right.
More, Lord.
Yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
Show me your glory.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Show me your glory.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the increase today. God bless you. Have a great week. Ask them and they will come. Ask them and they will come. Ask them and they will come. Come. I'll pray with you. Others will pray with you up here.